strip of paper that came stuttering out of the chugging machine, then ducked out of the cab while the driver sat in sullen silence. Some sort of Asian, Hathaway thought. The driver was swathed in a white turban and had a deeply black curly beard. The lower Broadway was a total bedlam of gridlock, cabs and trucks and city buses sitting unmoving, horns blaring insanely, drivers and radiators fuming. Do better on foot, Hathaway told himself as he headed down toward Wall Street. 15 minutes later, he was panting from the unusual exertion, his three-piece suit rumpled, his brand-new shirt soaked with perspiration. When he finally got to the lobby of the building where his brokerage firm was quartered, he saw a crowd of his fellow brokers milling about in dazed confusion. "You hoofed it out here for nothing," one of his buddies told him as Hathaway tried to push through the throng to the elevators. "The office is closed." "Closed? Whole damned market's closed. All the computers are down. Nothing's going to happen today, Gordo." Hathaway's jaw dropped open. "The New York Stock Exchange is closed? I can't believe it." "Believe it," said his buddy sourly. In Boston Children's Hospital, the head of the surgical team gaped at the suddenly blank display screen, his blue eyes above his surgical mask going so wide you could see white all around them. "What happened?" he whispered harshly. His chief nurse shook her head. "The screen's gone out." "I can see that," louder, snarling. One of the assistant surgeons said needlessly, "The patient's open." The baby on the surgical table was only 3 weeks old. She was undergoing surgery to correct an aneurysm in her aorta that threatened to kill her before she'd seen 1 month of life. "Get the screen back up," the head of surgery demanded of no one in particular, of everyone in the surgical theater. The actual surgery was being performed remotely over an electronic link by a surgeon in Minneapolis who was recognized around the world as the best and most experienced man for this particular procedure. But the link had abruptly shut down in the middle of the operation. "Get it back up!" the head of surgery shouted again. "We're trying," said the computer technician from her console off in a corner of the surgery theater. She was almost in tears. "The patient," said one of the nurses. With a growl that was almost feral, the head of surgery said, "I'll have to finish this myself, goddammit, to hell." He was a very good surgeon, but not good enough. The infant died on the table, 4 days short of her first month of life. In the headquarters of Travis Broadcasting Systems in Atlanta, Herman Scott blinked unbelievingly at the wall full of monitor screens. 7, no, 8 of the 30 had crapped out. Make it 10. In stunned amazement, he watched as one after another the remaining 20 screens broke into hissing, snowy static, and then went dead gray. The big electronic map that covered one entire wall of the monitoring center froze. Every last one of the pinpoint lights that showed where the satellites were in their orbits winked out. "We can't have all 30 satellites going down at once," Scott said to himself, trying to remain calm. "Must be a power failure here in the building." But the big map was still lit, and a glance at the lights and gauges of his console told him that electrical power was normal, and the backup power system was in the green, too. A couple of the other engineers were getting up from their consoles, confusion and outright fear on their faces. "What's going on?" one of them asked. "As if I..."